Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Is This a Ghost? I'm Clayton Smith, and every week I tell a real ghost story from real history to my real friend, Patrick Dean, who burps real loud in my ears while not taking it real seriously.
Sounds like
okay, now you can tell your story.
Sounds like a volume problem on your end. It's not a burp.
It's a volume it's not a burping problem. It's a volume problem, yes.
I'm burping at the same volume that I always have burped.
Which has always been a problem, and I've never had the courage to tell you about it. But now I'm telling you, in front of God and everybody, you burp too loud.
What was I going to tell you about? Oh, yeah. So we had some friends over, right? I know, yeah. Hard to believe. But we have friends.
I didn't say anything.
And they come over.
I was thinking that joke, but I thought, that's too mean. I'm not going to say it.
Mm-hmm. It's too early for that. And these particular friends, they like to drink the non-alcoholic beer.
Oh, that's the bad beer.
Yeah, that's bad beer. So I went
out. That's beer that doesn't make sense.
So I went out. I was like, I'm going to be a good house guest. I'm going to buy a 12.
I thought they were coming to your house.
House host.
Oh, house host. Okay, yeah, that's what it's called.
that's what I said, obviously.
Yeah.
I'm going to be a good house host. And I'm going to buy some of that non-alcoholic beer, right?
Yeah.
So they can feel comfortable.
That's right? That's nice. That's
Isn't
so
it?
Nice.
So I go out and I spent like $14. On 12
your own dollars?
Of my own dollars, my own hard-earned dollars. That is
engineer money.
That takes me seconds to earn at work. And I'm going to spend it right now on 12 beers that don't even have beer in them. So I do. I go out and I buy something called Budweiser.
It is a racket that they charge like the same amount of money for beer with no beer.
It feels kind of like when they were like, they first started selling bottled water.
Yeah.
I'm like, you know, this is stupid, right? Well, so is this. So I buy 12 Budweiser Zero beers, which means zero
Budweiser Zero. Oh God.
It's all they had.
It's kind of zero.
It's all they had. And I figure, well, Budweiser tastes strongly of beer, you know, and by itself,
sure.
Maybe Budweiser Zero tastes
Except
somewhere
the thing
in the middle.
Is that Budweiser has beer in it.
Mm-hmm, correct. Yeah. Well, I'm realizing this on the drive home from the grocery store, obviously.
Okay.
Yeah. So I come home, I get these 12 not beer beers. I put them in the fridge, get them nice and chilly. The friends come over. Mm-hmm. And they say, hey, thanks for inviting us over. We brought something with us. And I think, are you fucking kidding me? And they brought 12 non-alcoholic beers with them as well to share.
Okay, several questions. Number one, was theirs better than Budweiser Zero?
It was worse. It was
impossible.
Worse. It was Michelob Ultra Zero beer. I don't even know what was in there.
Oh my God. Who are these people?
It was like,
how do you know these monsters?
It was like seltzer water that you had just like left out in the sun for a little while. That's kind of what it tasted like.
Why even do it? Why even?
I don't know. I don't
know. Okay, so second question. How many non-alcoholic beers do you currently have in your fridge?
I've been drinking them all week. I've been drinking them because it is liberating drinking a non-alcoholic beer like, you know, at work.
9 a.m.?
Yeah. No, I do not drink non-alcoholic beer at work because people would not believe me at all.
They can't fire you for that. That's not you're not no. drinking beer.
No, that's one of the few reasons they can't fire me. So it's
yeah.
So good on them. But no, I don't care for it so much. So right now tonight I'm drinking an actual beer with beer in it. So
good. That's
cheers
your choice.
To me.
Cheers to you indeed.
I had other things. I told you I was going to come with a list.
You did. I appreciate it.
I said I was going to come with a list because you said you had nothing to talk about tonight.
It's not entirely. Well, that's true. It's also, so that's, I think I told you already, this is going to be part one of a two-part episode. Now, the notes I've taken so far are definitely too long for a one-parter.
Okay.
However, I do question if they're long enough for a full two-parter. They're really like a one and a quarter.
Okay.
And so if we can really stretch out the nonsense in between. That's going to help me a lot.
I've been stretching at one and a quarter for years. So, so let me tell you what. Coming to the man with the plan. So over the weekend, Sunday? Mm-hmm. Sunday? Yeah.
Yesterday.
Amy had made a flu shot appointment for June for our youngest.
On a Sunday? On the Lord's Day?
On the Lord's Day.
Lord wants shots to happen.
And she's 6 years old. And at the last moment, the pharmacy called and said, ooh, we can't give flu vaccines to kids that young. And Amy said, did you realize that at any point, like when I made the appointment a week ago and had to enter the child's fucking birth date in, did you math this at any point? And they were like, yeah, we're real busy. So we didn't get a chance to call you. And she's like, why did you even accept the, whatever. So,
why can't they give flu shots to six-year-olds?
I don't know. Too young.
My four-year-old just got a flu shot.
Well, so the story continues.
Oh. So then RFK Jr. calls next.
So June got a reprieve. So she had been panic attack.
Oh, yeah.
Because she had asked us previously, do not tell me when I'm getting a flu shot. Like, she knows. She knows the That's anticipation. Smart. She knows the anticipation is the problem.
Yeah, yeah. She's hacking her own system.
That's exactly. Good. She said, don't tell me. I said, okay. So we told her like a day before the flu shot instead of like, you know, a month before when Amy made the appointments. And even a day was too much. She's like, I told you not to tell me. Why are you telling me a day before?
There's one rule. There's one rule and you fucked it up.
Exactly.
Dad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those were her last words before she fell asleep that night was, Dad, you fucked it up, Dad. So they call and they're like, hey, just so you know, we can't give flu shots to a kid that young. So no dice. And so Amy's like, okay, fine. So she tells June, and June, she gets a reprieve, right? This is great. Fantastic.
Yeah.
But then...
Little do we know, June was on the phone last night after you thought she was asleep calling Walgreens to say, hey, listen, I will give you $20. She called tomorrow and tell my mom I'm too young for a flu shot.
I will order a voice modulator on Amazon and send it to you. I swear this was going to work for just fine. So Amy, the next day, calls around a little bit and finds other places that might be offering flu shots. And she finds one. And guess what? Mm-hmm. Walmart, of all places.
Oh, Walmart. Walmart no loves problem. Dealing pain.
No Absolutely. Problem at all.
We'll stick anything. We're Walmart.
Did you say 6 months? Bring her in. Prenatal? We'll get the long needle. It'll be fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
So we don't tell June, right? Amy makes the appointment, and she's like, you're going to take her to this thing because I'm busy.
I said, cool. You're going
to I said, yeah, absolutely. I would love to. Yeah. So I say, hey, June, we've got some errands to run today. Just me and you. She's like, oh, a day with Dad. I said, yep. And the happier she gets about the day with Dad, the more I'm feeling like a piece of shit. But I was like, yeah.
Yeah, because this is the last time she'll be happy about a day with Dad.
Exactly. Ever.
Yeah.
So I said, well, let's just me and you. Me and you. We're going to go out. We're going to go to, you know, let's go to Walmart.
Oh, my God. What a dream.
Yeah. She's like, Walmart?
They have toys there.
I said, yeah. Wow. I got to get a couple things at Walmart and we'll go there. FYI, we don't go to Walmart very often. It's like we go there when we need.
I didn't think you did.
Like camping supplies, and that's it. I don't really know what else they have. Terrible produce. Terrible produce and camping
terrible
supplies.
Terrible produce. Yeah.
So I take her in there.
Probably some non-alcoholic Budweiser.
Yeah. Well, and also, fourth thing, flu shots. So we walk in there, and as soon as we walk in the door, she starts to wise up. She's like... Why?
She can just smell it. She can smell like, your fear.
Yeah. Why are we in here? Why are you dragging me so quickly by the hand? Why do you keep saying we're late? Like, we're late for what, Dad? So we finally get up to the pharmacy and... Or we finally get up to... I did not realize there was a pharmacy in Walmart. I figured it was just like a girl in like aisle 37 with the bag of needles.
Yeah, you got
to
track her like down normal. And find her. She's gotta, yeah. Oh, yeah, there you go.
Uh-huh. So we get up to the Walmart pharmacy in June and she smells a rat. She's like, "What? No. Why are we here? What is this part of Walmart?" I said, "Well, do you remember how you told me you didn't want to know when you're getting a flu shot?"
Good.
Background on her. Yeah, exactly. I'm getting a flu shot, and then just meltdown, right? Quick meltdown. Yeah. So she melts down for a while and I'm filling out some paperwork for her and I said, "Hey, you know what? I also am ready for a flu shot. Do you have any extra flu shots? Maybe I could get one."
And you're gonna model some good behavior.
Exactly. The lady says, "Absolutely. I have all kinds of flu shots back here. You just sign." You know, so I start filling out a little bit more paperwork. So I'm filling out all the paperwork, which is a lot of paperwork. And June's, you know, having a more difficult time because now I'm not able to console her because I'm writing, you know, my medical history to Walmart for some reason. So finally, I get everything filled out. We get back in the little booth. And she, this sweet little kid, she kind of calms down a little bit and she goes, "Next time, can you just tell me in the car so I don't embarrass myself like this?" I said, no one's embarrassed. It's fine.
No. Hey, that's a level of self-awareness that is going to serve her anxiety well in life just perfectly.
I thought so. I said, no one's embarrassed. If we walked around Walmart right now, if we did like a full lap, you would be like the third person crying in here. I promise.
Totally. And most of them would be like big men.
Exactly. Yep.
Big sad men.
Lots of ugly cries in Walmart, especially on a Sunday afternoon. So we're in the little booth. We're getting ready to get our shots, whatever. And the lady comes in. She goes, oh, okay, so you're both getting shots. Yep, we're both getting shots. June starts to get a little wound up again. The lady's putting these, like prepping our arms, right, for the mm-hmm. for the shots. And she goes, honey, talking to June, you don't have to worry at all. Yeah, not definitely doesn't call me honey yet. And you don't have to worry at all. The needle I give you, it's like a cat's whisker. I promise you won't even feel it.
Cat's whisker.
It is the tiniest needle. You will not even notice when I get it. And I was like, well, this is really nice for her. Because I'm a little squeamish around needles. Like blood, yeah, sure. Needles, anything with the body, I don't enjoy.
Yeah.
I'm not.
They're stabbing something to get into your blood.
Like, yeah.
That's not great.
I spend most of my day keeping the blood inside. They want to. Anyway. So I'm thinking, this lady's really doing a great job getting June calm. And then she turns to June and she goes, you don't want to see the needle I got to stick your dad with. I said, I'm sorry. And she goes, you should see the needles we have to give the adults, June. They're huge. They're like a pencil. And June's like, really? And June's starting to get pepped up a little bit. And I'm starting to feel less good about the whole thing. And she's like, June, look at the needle I have to give your dad. And she pulls this huge fucking syringe out. And she goes, here, June, feel with your fingers. Feel how thick this needle is.
Hey, get your germs on this needle.
I'm like, wait, she's not supposed to touch the needle. That's not okay. So, like, the blood starts to, you know, leave my face a little bit, because now it's, like, very clear that I'm going to get stuck with a huge fucking needle in Walmart.
Yeah.
And if I die in Walmart, two things. Number one, I'm going to be just as embarrassed as June is from dying in Walmart.
Oh, my God. And no one told you in the car you're right. going to die at Walmart today.
Exactly. And number two, I just gave them all bogus information on the form, so they don't know who the fuck I am. So
Amy will never find you.
No, absolutely
How
not.
Will she put your ashes in the Steak and Shake toilet?
So anyway, we both ended up getting our shots. No one threw up. Everyone was embarrassed. And then at the end of it, we went to the toy aisle and picked out some like really obnoxious
what did you get
Monster
for
High doll. I didn't get anything for myself. I was really trying hard not to throw up. But June got a really pretty Monster High doll. So
nice. Okay.
So
great. That's good.
Anyway.
Worked out great.
Yeah. Yeah. Great. Really good. If I get the flu now, I'm going to be so mad because I'm so stupid.
I have not gotten a flu shot yet, but what I did do this weekend, I took 11 college students in a van, in one van that
same
I rented.
Van? Same van as last
same
time?
Same van, 15-passenger van.
Mm-hmm.
Threw a bunch of kids in there and drove them 6 hours to North Carolina,
okay.
to a mountain in North Carolina for a retreat.
Ooh. What were you retreating from exactly?
Life, everything.
Yeah,
you name it, I was retreating from it. Now, the students were there to work on this social entrepreneurship retreat. It's really a great program, mm-hmm. the Sullivan Foundation. Love it. Can't say enough good things about it. Great people there.
Sounds great.
However, I was there to just sit quietly in a hotel room for 2 days
mm-hmm.
because I don't have to do anything at this retreat.
Okay.
Now, they do have faculty programming,
mm-hmm.
And they really expect you to go to that.
Right.
But I don't think I'm going to continue to be the person who takes the kids on the retreat after this time. So I have no skin in this game. And so I sat mostly in my hotel room quietly. And it was really good.
It's a shame because it seemed like there were a lot of other places to sit in your hotel. So
you saw the video. That's what I'm getting at. I don't know how to... I don't know if like Jen can maybe splice this into the YouTube. So I'm at this hotel in this really great retreat center called Lake Junaluska, North Carolina. Really beautiful place. Super churchy, which is kind of a weird vibe, but it used to be, I don't know, one of the churches out there used to own the whole thing, and it was like a church retreat. Now it's, I don't think they own it anymore, but it's still real churchy.
Mm-hmm.
But there's like, there's retreat center there, and so there we were there, but there's also like old people are there, because it's like Smoky Mountain Branson, mm-hmm. so they're all there, and there's like people getting married for some reason, even, because I guess because mm-hmm. it's so pretty.
Yeah.
But like, there's like high schoolers in sweatpants walking in their wedding shots and things, which is crazy.
Sounds like the Grand Ole Opry. Just like it's like very, a lot of events, a lot of diverse people.
Yeah,
maybe a water slide.
Yeah, and so I stayed in the hotel. Now, when I went there in the spring for the same retreat, I got to stay in the nice hotel, which was pretty great. And it was you know, it was like a normal nice hotel. There is like a 3-star hotel somewhere else.
Oh wow,
but it was fine. Okay. It was fine. It was, you know, whatever.
It's I don't know what the stars are.
Level.
Is three a good? Is three good or three
no?
Good?
It's fine. Three's fine.
Oh,
three's
okay.
Fine. Three's like nice. I'm not concerned for my health. Yeah.
Oh, like a Holiday Inn Express.
Yeah. Oh, sure. Yes.
I love
those. It was like that, but older.
Okay.
But then this time they were like, oh, and by the way, this time you're staying at this. the whatever hotel. And I was like, oh, that's different from last year. And they said, yeah, there were a bunch of weddings that all got the good hotel. So you're up. So I had to like walk way up this hill, like a mile up this mountain to this hotel. And I check in and it's really old, definitely for sure haunted. I didn't see any ghosts, but it's the vibe.
Yeah.
But as you saw on my videos that I post on the socials, there are so many chairs at this hotel. And maybe Jen can splice in my video. I don't know. Or we'll link to it or something. If you haven't seen, go to my TikTok or go to my Facebook page. Go to Clayton Source. Because you when I tell you there are so many chairs in this lobby.
I wasn't prepared.
You're not prepared.
I was not prepared for how many chairs there were. Think of the
most chairs and couches you could possibly conceive of in a hotel lobby. And triple it, and you're still not there. Patrick, if you had to guess from memory, how many chairs, how many individual, and how many, like, not just like how many people could sit, but like how many individual pieces of furniture?
I'm going to guess.
Because some of them were couches that could fit like three people.
How many pieces? I'm going to wager unique pieces of furniture. I'm going to wager 45. 45 sounds like a good
I didn't
number.
Count, but I bet it's more than that. Okay. It's so many.
The most striking was definitely the couch in the men's room.
Was surprising to see.
I've been in a lot of men's rooms in my life, thousands probably. Mm-hmm. Never have I seen a piece of furniture in there. And you want to know why? Because men pee on everything.
That's right.
We do. Every fucking thing.
We do. It doesn't matter. Let's pee on that. And I like that it's strategically positioned so you can watch it men while they use the urinal.
You know what it's for? It's so when you put your shoes
back. I have some ideas.
It's for when you put your shoes back on, you have somewhere to sit down and tie them. That's what it's for.
Why? Okay, so that in some ways makes a lot of sense. It does make me wonder. I mean, how do you use the bathroom?
Sit on the floor. What if there's a line for the toilet? I'd feel really guilty if I was in this stall. There's a whole line, and I'm putting my shoes back on, and they're like, "Can you just speed this up?" And I'm like, "Look, it's the teeny tiny shoelaces. They're really complicated."
We're all taking our shoes off,
and they'll be like, "Look, there's
you're gonna throw the first stone."
There is a couch out here for exactly what you're doing inside of there. So please.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was a couch outside that you could have used for that outside the bathroom as well. So that was my weekend, is mostly just being really concerned. And the video has gotten some good responses. Like people are like, wow, that's a lot of chairs, right? Mm-hmm. Like that's
right.
They're
sure.
also
that's,
surprised.
That's what I would expect.
Yeah. Now people at the retreat, I was like trying to make small talk with the other faculty members from it's like all these colleges from all over the Southeast. And I was like, hey, do you guys know so many chairs are in the lobby? They're like, no. And like they're not, and so we walk back into the lobby, and I was like, "Look at all these chairs! Isn't that amazing?" And they're like, eh, "It's a lot of chairs, I guess."
Well,
they didn't care.
What I will note, so the, like I said, 45 is probably a low number. Maybe
I think so.
North of 50. The most notable thing: how many chairs were occupied in that video?
Zero
chairs. That was the most
not
notable.
Not a one.
Part. It looked like an absolute ghost town in this hotel, which was a lot creepier than the number of chairs in my mind.
There were more places to sit than. People in the hotel. I think there were more places to sit than rooms in the hotel. It's crazy. And no one else on the retreat thought this was an interesting point of conversation. So I made no friends and I could burn that place to the ground.
Yeah. The moment I explained that to somebody and they weren't like fascinated with me, that's the end of it. That's it.
I don't know what we're doing here.
Yeah.
This is why I'm not going back. Well, we've successfully killed about 20 minutes. I think we can start if you're interested in hearing a ghost story tonight.
Please. Yes.
Whoa! Jesus Christ.
Oh, that was even loud on this end.
Oh, God. Well, I have my notes here because I started taking these notes like weeks ago. And one of my first notes is Halloween episode check-in. I'm going to delete that one.
Thanks.
But I will say I've been riding pretty high on my win.
I have not listened to the mix from last week.
I haven't yet either. I'm told Jeremy said it's done.
Right, it's done. Now, Jeremy does realize that I'm not in the last 5 minutes of the mix, right?
Of what?
Remember the audio died with like 5 minutes left in the episode?
Oh, yeah. I did forget about that.
Can you just like drop a note in the Discord maybe?
It's too late because he already did it. But he did. Okay, so this makes a lot of sense because in his email, he did write something and I was like, I don't remember that, but that's cool. Thanks, Jeremy. Let me find it here. What did Jeremy say? Episode complete. Here we go. It says, I added a spooky track to close off the main recording to the coda. He sent me the credit for that so I could put it in there. So he said, I think it worked well and congrats on the win. So I think that must be why he did that. Because I was like, oh, fun, a spooky song. I wonder why he's doing that.
It's ridiculous.
It probably is because
to replace all the missing audio over you just talking to the room, essentially.
Yeah. Well, I liked it this time. It's not my fault.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I did accidentally post just my audio to the feed a few weeks ago, that one was my fault. People were real confused on that one.
Mm-hmm. Got to get different folders. Need different folders.
Yeah, you would think. Yep. I know, it's too complicated. By the way, if you speaking of complicated and confusing, if last week was the first episode you ever listened to of this show, you're going to be real lost because actually normally I tell the story. And it's just one story. And Patrick does all the funny stuff. So that's how it goes. Anyway, now I have to do another thing.
Ugh. There you go.
Benjamin Siegel.
If I had started one of the stories last week with the name Benjamin Siegel, you would have made me stop telling the story right there. You would have said, nope.
Absolutely.
Nope. End of episode.
I will probably, I'll spell Siegel for you.
Because... you don't need to. You don't have to.
Okay. It's not spelled, like you think.
No, it's already, okay. Nope.
All right. He was born on February 28th, 1906. Almost a leap year, baby. Mm. I don't know if that had a leap year. If that was a leap year. Either almost a leap year baby, almost a March baby. Mm-hmm. One of the two. He was born in Brooklyn in the Williamsburg neighborhood. He was so trendy.
It means nothing.
You don't know anything about New York. No,
it means absolutely nothing. Less than nothing.
When's the last time you've been in New York?
We were talking about maybe going up over spring break.
Well, that's
possibly
next year.
Yes. Not.
Yeah.
Yes. Spring break this year.
Yeah. Taking a late spring
I don't know
break.
When the listener is going to hear this episode, but spring break has been over for a little while this year.
You should. It's good. It's good place. Aaron's going tomorrow.
Oh, that's way too early. I won't see her.
I think so. I'll tell her to wait there. Anyway, so what you don't know about Williamsburg is that it's a few things you should know about Williamsburg. So now it's like very trendy and very expensive, a very cool, hip place to be. Also, there are pockets of Williamsburg that are very, very, it's a big Jewish history.
Oh, okay.
So there's like Hasidic Jews, there's like Ashkenazi Jews there. And if you, parts of Williamsburg now, if you walk through, you'll see like the people in like the cassocks and the big wide-brimmed hats and the ringlets and like all that walking through still.
Oh.
It's still very much alive there. So big Jewish history. Now, Benjamin Siegel. Well, he was the second of five children born to a pair of Ashkenazi Jews there. His parents were named Jenny and Max. They had emigrated to the U.S. from Austria-Hungary.
Mm-hmm.
And they worked very hard, but got paid so very little.
Mm.
So Benny grows up pretty hungry. When he's a boy, he also drops out of school.
Oh, that's not going to help.
School is for dumb idiots.
Yeah.
Yeah. And instead, he joins a gang on the Lower East Side of Manhattan.
Oh, the Lower East Side Ashkenazi Jews. Do not fucking cross them.
You must have had to cross the bridge.
You can't.
He's probably like,
you can't commute to join a gang. That's not how gangs work.
I think gangs are supposed to be like your neighborhood.
Yeah,
right? that's like a team building
exactly
thing.
Exactly. This is. Sounds like a ringer.
Yeah. So they recruited him out of Williamsburg, and they brought him over across the river. And Benjamin mostly committed acts of theft until he met another boy named Mo Sedway.
Mm.
And Benjamin and Mo decide to up the ante a little bit. And these two children start a protection racket against the pushcart merchants of New York.
Oh, okay.
Hey, bud. Nice hot dog cart you got there.
Be a real shame if someone... Oh, look, one of your tires is popped now. Oh, boy.
Oh, that bun flew right out of your hand, huh? Wow.
It'd be a shame if a seagull just swooped down and took this hot dog. Oh, look, here I come.
Caw-caw, caw-caw.
Was it like that?
I think it was exactly like that. They threatened to incinerate the merchandise unless they were paid a dollar.
Oh, have they tasted the food from a food cart? That's like literally how they cook it.
It's already incinerated. It's like, yeah, please, okay.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, I'm paying you minimum wage to do my job? Absolutely. So Benjamin starts to build up quite a criminal record here, which goes on to very shortly include armed robbery, rape, and murder.
Oh, neither of those are funny.
He's a boy. I think he's in his middle teens at this point. So this is horrifying to hear. It's horrifying already, of course.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's made more horrifying, I think, because he's an adolescent. During this time, Benjamin becomes friends with a young man 4 years older than him, whose name is Meyer Lansky.
Mm-hmm.
Judging by the look on your face, I'm going to guess you have never watched Boardwalk Empire.
No, I have not, but the name does ring the slightest of bells.
He's a pretty big-time gangster in the old history of New York.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have watched Boardwalk Empire, the name will be familiar to you. And if you haven't heard of Meyer Lansky, he goes on to be one of the biggest Jewish gang leaders in American history and probably the most famous Jewish gang leader that we've had. So at this point, Meyer is still pretty young.
Mm-hmm.
But he had already met a kid named Charles Luciano, who goes by the nickname Lucky Luciano.
Oh, this one I know.
This one you know.
Mm.
Also in Boardwalk Empire.
Yes.
Also real, though. Also in Boardwalk Empire because he's real.
And which one of these is Steve Buscemi? Which one?
None of these yet.
No. Oh, okay. Is he coming, though?
Well, let's just find out. We got a lot of... Listen, folks, I'll tell you this right now. If you have not watched Boardwalk Empire, I do honestly encourage you to stop this podcast. Press pause.
Mm-hmm.
Go watch the entire series and then come back. It will help you out a lot with a lot of these names.
Mm.
Anyway, so by the way, speaking of Boardwalk Empire.
I have time. Yeah, let's take an aside here.
You know, Michael Shannon's in, you know, well, you probably don't, you might not know. You know Michael Shannon, the actor Michael Shannon?
Yeah, yeah, General Zod, yeah.
Yeah, General Zod, that's the one.
That's the one role I know him from.
The most ridiculous role he's ever played.
People hate him for, yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's actually, believe it or not, he's a wonderful actor.
He seems very,
very
nice.
Intense.
Yeah.
Very intense, yeah. He's in Boardwalk Empire. He's a big role there and super intense. And so he is part of a theater company in Chicago called the Red Orchid Theater.
Okay.
Which I don't know if you are familiar with or not, but I know a few folks who work at Red Orchid. And so several years ago when we were still in Chicago, they were doing their, getting ready for their annual gala. And Michael Shannon was coming back, as he often does, to help them raise money, because now he's a big star.
Right.
And he donated a suit from Boardwalk Empire that he wore as a character in Boardwalk Empire for the silent auction.
Oh, wow.
Or for the real auction, probably, right. I guess. That's probably a better, like, real auction thing. So he donated it. And so they wanted to display the suit. And they're like, well, it would be fun if we didn't have to put it, like, on a mannequin.
Mm-hmm.
What if we had someone walk around wearing... the suit.
Right. Who would wear Michael Shannon's suit?
And so they said, but Michael Shannon's a very tall person.
Right.
And so the people who were there were like, do we know any tall people who could just like put on this suit and walk around?
Oh.
And of course I was their first phone call.
Really?
And so they called me to ask if I would wear Michael Shannon's Boardwalk Empire suit for this event.
Wow.
And like hang out with Michael Shannon all day, like next to him and like wander around with him.
Wait, what?
And I was like,
why can't he wear the suit? I'm confused. Why are you wearing this suit? And he's
because
like right
he's
there.
Off the clock.
Wearing the suit.
I don't
wearing
know.
The suit.
Okay,
that's fine.
I don't know because okay. Here's why. Because when someone wins it, that whoever's wearing it has to take it off.
Oh, I see. And okay,
he's not doing that. That's
right.
Not in his contract.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No blue stuff.
They don't have any intimacy coordinators at this theater, so he's like, I don't think so. He says, I don't think so.
I don't think so.
So anyway, so they call, and I'm like, absolutely. Do I want to spend like 3 hours with Michael Shannon wearing the man suit that he wore in one of my favorite shows? Of course I do. Mm. Sign me up. What are the dates? And they told me, and the dates were during one of our baseball trips. And so I couldn't do it because I went on a baseball trip.
Which instead. Baseball trip?
This would have been how many years ago? This would have been 20. Was it after Paula? I think it was 2017.
Hmm.
Where did we go 2017?
I don't think that was a very good one.
Probably not. It was probably not at all worth it. No, this is probably the one where you... This is probably San Diego.
Oh, I didn't go on that one.
You should have gone and worn Michael Shannon's suit in Chicago.
I was really busy at the ICU with my family, but, you know, I probably could have found some time to peel off.
I think so. Would have tried. Anyway, that's how I almost got to meet Michael Shannon while wearing his sweaty clothes.
Hmm.
Let's see. Where are we in the story? Oh, so Benjamin Siegel meets Meyer Lansky. Mm-hmm. Meyer already knows Lucky Luciano. So then, like in hindsight, like someone who knows history and or Boardwalk Empire, this is bad for other people. He serves some like heavy players. So Meyer is a teenager, but he's already so fucking smart. He looks around. He sees a hole in the mafia marketplace.
Mm.
he realizes, Meyer Lansky realizes there's an opportunity for the Jewish boys in the neighborhood to organize in the same way that the Irish and Italians are doing. No one's doing this yet.
Makes sense.
So Benjamin Siegel is the first person that Meyer Lansky recruits for his brand new gang. Let's see. Benjamin, you may have kind of gotten this vibe already because of the fact that he dropped out of school at a young age and became a criminal who murdered and raped people. But just to say it, Benjamin had a reputation for having a violent temper and a quick-tempered nature.
Oh, wow. Okay. Oof.
I don't know if that was clear. The other members of the gang were actually kind of scared of him, and they described him as being, quote, crazy as a bedbug. Now, are bedbugs crazy?
I don't know. I thought that was actually a bad word for like a slur. I thought it was.
What is?
Bedbug.
What do you think that means? Tell me that.
I think it's for a bad word nowadays.
Is it?
I think it is.
For whom?
For the Jewish people.
Bedbug?
It is.
Am I gonna have to hold on a second.
Ask ChatGPT.
No, I guess. I will say. Okay, is bedbug a slur? ChatGPT says, no, bedbug is not a slur in general usage. It's an ordinary English word referring to a small parasitic insect that feeds on blood, often found in bedding. That said, and then in bold, context matters. No, this says no.
Okay.
Let's go to Urban Dictionary.
Okay.
Let's get to the bottom of this. I got to get my own personal computer. I can't keep doing this stuff on my work computer. Bedbug. Okay, here we go. Oh, no. Bedbug. Okay. Urban Dictionary to the rescue. Bedbug. A clingy sexual partner who infests your bed at all times. Sounds good. Bedbug. A friend with benefits in a relationship that ruins your credit or abuses you financially.
What?
Yeah. Someone to sleep with you. Someone who only wants to sleep with you, comma, specifically at night. So, I don't know. I don't know what kind of kids you're hanging out with.
It doesn't sound great. It doesn't sound like a great word, but it doesn't sound as bad as I thought it was before. No, but I don't think
it's a Jewish slur.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
Which is good. We're learning. We're keeping our heads on a swivel. Anyway, so crazy as a bedbug is what they called him. I don't know. I don't think bedbugs are crazy. I don't know if they're crazy. But I do know this leads to a new nickname for Benjamin, who now you may know as Bugsy Siegel.
Oh, I don't know who that is.
You've never heard of Bugsy Siegel?
No, I've heard of.
What's the matter with you?
I've heard of, who's the other Bugsy?
Bugsy Malone?
Yeah, Bugsy Malone.
The basketball player?
That's not. No. Is it a basketball player?
Bugsy, I'm sorry, Bugsy Muggs.
Yeah, but now who's wrong?
Sorry, I was so aghast at the fact that you only know a basketball player and B, don't know Bugsy Siegel, that my brain skipped and merged multiple basketball
Malone
players together.
Or is Bugsy Malone in like Dick Tracy or something?
Let's see. Bugsy Malone. Oh yeah, Bugsy Malone is also a thing. So I was like, okay, Bugsy Malone is a 1970 gangster musical comedy film, which is, of course, that you know. Here's the plot. In 1929 New York, a war between two rival gangsters, Fat Sam and Dandy Dan, rages. Meanwhile, an all-around nice guy, Bugsy Malone, falls for a singer at Fat Sam's speakeasy.
This sounds like it's maybe based on Bugsy Siegel, is what I'm saying.
I don't think Bugsy Siegel is an all-around nice guy.
Is it the kid from Doogie Howser that was in it? No. Is it?
No. You're in some ways very close. Oh, God. Okay, think of like the Dark Mirror version of Neil Patrick Harris. You could do this.
I do not know.
You do know. Who's the anti Neil Pat? Who's the anti, like, Neil Patrick Harris thing? He's like a, you know, a, like a great, fun, gay, liberal, talented actor. Who's the exact opposite of that from that same time?
Charlie Sheen?
Scott Baio.
Oh, I was really close to Charlie Sheen, though.
You were getting there. You're getting there. Jodie Foster also in this movie.
Jodie Foster and Scott Baio?
Jodie Foster and Scott Baio. Man. Let's see. Anything else? No.
The Wonder didn't take off. So Bugsy Malone, not a real thing. Okay. Well.
But what? But thank. But I. But it's real. So Bugsy. But you know Bugsy. Bugsy.
I know Bugsy Malone, Bugsy. Which is the same thing as Bugsy Siegel. It sounds like.
Yeah.
And different from Moses Malone and Mugsy Bogues.
Mugsy Bogues is different. Wow, what a journey we're on. I'm glad this is two parts. All right. So anyway, people are just screaming at their podcast right now.
I think skip to next week's episode. It's fine.
That's when all the good stuff happens for sure. So let's see. Where are we? So Bugsy and Meyer Lansky, they grew up together, and it's not long before they get involved in bootlegging on the Eastern Seaboard.
Mm-hmm.
This is the whole. This is where Boardwalk Empire starts.
Okay, bootlegging, right.
Of course. At one point, Meyer starts hiring Bugsy out to other crime families as a hitman.
I love to hit. I don't care who I'm doing it for. I loves to hit.
I just have so much anger in me. So they need someone whacked. They could pay Meyer, and they would rent Bugsy, and Bugsy would go out, and he would do a good job.
Mm-hmm.
This goes really well. And so they eventually rebrand their gang as the Bugs and Meyer Mob.
Hmm. Okay.
Bugsy's getting some top billing now.
I'm impressed. He's
getting some equity.
He's doing a lot of the heavy lifting, it sounds like.
He's doing a lot of work. He's working hard. They handled the hits for several bootlegging gangs operating in New York and New Jersey, including Nucky Thompson, who is now I'm just blanking on the name completely. Mm. Steve Buscemi.
Oh, finally.
But also is B, fictional. So Nucky Thompson's not real. Everyone else in Boardwalk Empire from this episode is real. Nucky Thompson, not so much.
The only person I know in Boardwalk Empire is the only fictional character on Boardwalk Empire.
Correct. That is correct.
Okay, cool.
So when the hitman work was slow, the Bugs and Meyer mob kept themselves busy by hijacking the liquor cargoes of rival gangs.
Hmm.
Later, in a biography about Meyer Lansky, one of the gang members, Doc Stacher, talked about how fearless Bugsy was, saying, quote, "Bugsy never hesitated when danger threatened. While we tried to figure out what the best move was, Bugsy was already shooting. When it came to action, there was no one better. I've never known a man who had more guts." Bugsy was also, at this time, a boyhood friend to Al Capone.
Oh, okay.
I think by boyhood, they mean like 16, 17
right, yeah.
Year olds. They're, you know. At one point, there was a warrant for Capone's arrest on a murder charge, and Bugsy let Al hide out with his aunt.
Hmm.
That's nice.
Lay low with a hitman's family, I guess.
Hey, yeah. Aunt Kathy, yeah. Will you, this is my friend Al, don't ask any questions. Yeah. Don't talk to him. Don't look at him. He's going to hang out here for 6 months.
Let him smoke in the house. It's fine. It'll be fine.
Whatever he wants to do, please let him do it. Here's another quote that I like. Siegel first smoked opium during his youth and was involved in the drug trade. By age 21, he was making enough money to purchase an apartment at the Waldorf Astoria Hotel and a Tudor home in Scarsdale, New York.
Ooh.
He also wore flashy clothes and participated in New York City's nightlife.
Mm-hmm.
So he's doing very well at a very young age. His brain's not fully developed, and he's got a Waldorf Astoria Hotel apartment and a Tudor mansion. Now, right around this time, the Italian mafia had a bit of an internal reorganization.
Hmm.
There were a handful of different mafia groups that wanted to iron a few things out. So the New York mob boss at this time was Joe Masseria, also another very famous person you've probably never heard of.
No.
Because apparently you don't do mob stuff.
No, not really.
I thought for sure you would know all these names.
No, absolutely not.
You never watched like any sort of thing outside of The Godfather, is that?
I saw The Godfather. Right? Yeah, I saw that. Mm-hmm. And yeah. I saw Goodfellas. I saw that. Yeah.
Okay, that's good. Uh-huh. That's a good one.
I saw parts of Casino.
What do you mean you saw parts of Casino?
It's very long. I don't.
It's so long.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you see the part where Robert De Niro blows the dice? He puts it in his hand.
Blows the dice? No. I saw the part where like they break the guy's hand on a table.
That's a good
table.
Part.
That's a good part, yeah.
Did I ever tell you that Paula... my ex-wife, she's from a Sicilian family, and they're good friends with Sicilians.
Hmm.
And one of her uncle's good friends was a real person who appear like the an actor played him in Casino because he went out to Vegas and did some mob stuff for a while.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Wonderful.
I left that family.
Yeah.
I got out. Not everyone did. Anyway, so New York mob boss, oh yeah, Joe Masseria, and Lucky Luciano, who is, again, Meyer Lansky's Italian friend here, decides to have Joe Masseria killed so that he, Lucky, can take over.
Oh.
Okay. Lucky's thrown in with the Jewish mob, but he is Italian,
okay.
So he's doing a little double-crossing here.
Fair enough.
Lucky hires some gunmen from the Bugs and Meyer gang to take out Joe Masseria, and Bugsy's like, well, I'm in on this for sure. This is right up my alley. So Bugsy goes in after him. Actually, while I'm thinking about it, let me show you a picture of Bugsy. Just so you've got a picture in mind. Now, the picture I'm going to show you is from, this is going to be from episode 2, but you'll get the picture. Literally. That's Bugsy.
Oh, wow. Very dapper.
Now, judging from his tie, can you guess where episode 2 is going to go?
I'm going to guess Las Vegas, Nevada.
Vegas. All right. Come back for that one next week. Anyway, so that's Bugsy. He's got the swagger, as the kids say. He's got the riz, as the kids actually say. Anyway, so Bugsy's like, I went in on this. I want to kill Joe Masseria. And let's see. A few months later. So they do. So they take out. Is that right? Yeah, they take out Joe Masseria.
Mm-hmm.
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds right. Yeah. Let's just say they do. Then a few months later, Lucky has them take out Salvatore Maranzano, another big boss. And they do. And this gives Lucky a clear path to the top of the Italian mafia.
Wow.
And by doing this, Lucky Luciano kicks off the modern day idea of organized crime.
I always wondered.
Yeah, it's Lucky all the way up and down. It's no longer families who are splitting up territory and being cool with that.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's one family that allows other families to rent out space, basically.
Mm, right.
Which is where Godfather comes in and stuff. They kind of tell that story. So all this goes down anyway. And Meyer Lansky is like, hey, Lucky, you know, you're doing great. And we are friends. So let's continue. We should do this. The mafia and the Jewish mob, like, we should probably continue to be friends. Mm-hmm. Don't you think that's a good idea?
Let's, like, not kill each other at all.
I have a crazy idea. And so Lucky agrees. And so they join forces and they form a group that they call the National Crime Syndicate.
I love when they plot to kill Superman. Yeah, that's my favorite part.
All right, see?
Yeah.
Superman's going to be flying over here. Yeah. We're going to spring the trap, huh? I think that if you're going to make a National Crime Syndicate, you should not call it the National Crime Syndicate.
No. I mean,
there should be no paperwork about that.
It's their first attempt, though. So
that's true. They're workshopping it. So the National Crime Syndicate pretty quickly realizes that they need an enforcement vertical in their organizational chart.
Oh, yes.
Right? So, of course, Bugsy is tapped for this job.
Mm-hmm. VP. VP level right there.
VP level, absolutely. And he's just an entrepreneurial thinker. He forms a new group under this vertical that he calls Murder Incorporated. And I just think this is what the Latin kings don't understand today is that gang work is a business. It's a unique business, but it's still a business. And if you're not incorporating into your verticals, I don't think you know what's going on.
I mean, the secret is to start an LLC, really, because that's, you know, that way, otherwise you're going to get sued to oblivion.
You want that protection, that liability protection for sure. If you're going to be murdering people, you don't want that coming back on you. Absolutely not. They're going to come after your assets. No, thank you. So Murder Inc. is formed. They had one job. Any guesses?
Charitable works.
and you could say that. Depends on who you're asking. Murder Inc. was believed to be responsible for between 400 and 1,000 contract killings.
Wow.
During what ends up being a, you'll be surprised to hear, a pretty short lifespan. So everything's going well, though. So he's part of this big, he's part of a business that's going gangbusters.
Mm.
I didn't even write that joke down. That's just right off the old dome.
Pretty good.
Pretty good, right? On January 28th, 1929, Bugsy marries Esta Krakow, his childhood sweetheart. Mm.
Is she from Boardwalk Empire 2, or am I...
It's not, I'll tell you this, it's not impossible.
Esta Krakow?
It's not impossible.
Mm. Who plays Esta Krakow in Boardwalk Empire?
I should ask ChatGPT. I'm going to Google. Who plays Esta Krakow on Boardwalk Empire? ChatGPT says, searching the web. Oh, shit. The character Esta Krakow from Boardwalk Empire is portrayed by actress Julianne Nicholson.
Oh. Now, is that a hallucination or is that an actual person?
Let's see. Oh. Well, this is a real person. I don't think she played it. I think she played an agent, like an FBI agent, I'm pretty sure. I want to say this isn't right.
Thank you, ChatGPT. Helpful as always.
Not helpful. Yeah. Anyway, so Bugsy marries her. They have two daughters, Millicent and Barbara. And while they were married, Bugsy had affairs with so many women.
Oh.
Including a woman named Marie the Body McDonald.
Ooh.
Now, that's a nickname that should be absolutely illegal because it forces you to Google image search when you read it. Would you like to see what I found when I did that?
I mean, for the sake of the podcast.
For the sake of science and research. Mm-hmm.
Jesus. Well.
What do you think?
Is this her?
That's her. Who do you think it would be?
She seems very nice.
Yep.
Anyway, don't watch the YouTube video, guys.
Amy, Aaron, don't watch the YouTube video. So that's the body. So that's one of his side pieces. That's fine. Let's see. Anyway, it's during this time when he's got all this going on, he's with Murder, Inc., that Bugsy starts to get annoyed by a man named Waxy Gordon.
Hmm. He doesn't seem like the sort of man that would be annoyed very long. Would you agree?
No, I think that he's a man of action for sure. He's a problem solver. Now, Waxy Gordon, I know, means nothing to you. Mm-hmm. However, again,
right,
go watch Boardwalk Empire, friends. Mm-hmm. Waxy's running a bunch of guys in New York, and his enterprise is starting to nudge a little bit into Bugsy's territory.
Hmm.
So Bugsy and Meyer give information about Waxy Gordon's tax evasion to the IRS.
Oh, okay.
And this lands Waxy Gordon in prison in 1933. I want to say he's a big fucking deal mob boss, and they have landed him in prison. So Waxy is big mad.
Mm-hmm.
He hires out a couple of guys named the Fabrizio Brothers.
Oh.
To assassinate Bugsy Siegel.
They sound serious.
They are so Italian. So the Fabrizios, they plant a bomb in Bugsy's suite at the Waldorf Astoria.
They're going to bomb the hotel?
They're going to bomb, his room at the hotel.
Yes, yeah. an amount of the hotel is going to be bombed.
Yes, they're going to bomb some of the hotel, correct.
This does not sound like a surgical bomb. This sounds like just a bomb.
Sounds like a big bomb. This is a bomb from Mario for sure. They light it, they wind it up, they push it out, it goes let's see how it works out. Let's see. Bugsy, though, was not a dumb person, and he had reinforced his room with some steel plates and shit. And so the bomb does go off, but it doesn't kill him.
Oh.
And so now Bugsy's big mad because his apartment is ruined. he's probably got a concussion. And he hunts down and kills the Fabrizio brothers.
Wow. Okay.
But then a third Fabrizio brother, and I'm going to say his name here. I want you to get, what do you think Fabrizio's first name is?
Pizzo Fabrizio.
Okay. His name's Tony. Tony decides he's going to write a memoir.
Oh.
And one of the longest chapters in his memoir manuscript is a section all about Bugsy Siegel and Murder, Inc.
Oh, you know what?
Exposing Bugsy to the world.
You know what? The best revenge is success. Mm-hmm. That's what
I'm saying. Absolutely. That's right.
Hang on one second. I'm going to grab something. Hang on.
A non-alcoholic beer? Okay.
Shut up.
If he comes back with a non-alcoholic beer, I'm going to make so much fun of him. All right, hold it up. What'd you get?
So cold.
you idiot.
I'm out of regular beers.
I love that we're talking about the mob, which is like, you know, the most like guy thing you can talk about.
Yes.
When you're over there sipping a Budweiser Zero.
I am.
Well, I have a hot toddy, which is a very masculine drink.
And I'm staring at a sealed up bag of Doritos that have my name on it. So,
so TikTok.
Let's get this moving here.
All right. So Tony's writing a book, and he includes a lot of info about how's your face?
It's delicious. So good.
I bet.
So worth it.
He involves all this information about Murder, Inc. And Bugsy does not like that. So Bugsy decides he has a plan. He goes and checks himself into a hospital.
Oh, okay.
And now that a tight alibi, he sneaks out of the hospital.
Oh.
He goes to Tony Fabrizio's house. Mm-hmm. He pretends to be a detective.
Oh, okay.
Knock, knock, knock.
He looks a little coppish. He looks a little coppish in that photo.
He does look coppish.
I can see
I actually have the body pulled up on my screen. I'm distracted. I look to see how coppish he looked, but I'd like to. Nope. All right.
Desperately asking ChatGPT to colorize the photo for me right now.
Can you animate this in any interesting ways, please?
Just in the next for science. 9 to 10 seconds. That's all I'm asking for.
So he knocks on the door. He says, "Hey, I'm a detective. I need you to please come talk to me." So, so Tony steps out of his house. And of course, that's a dumb thing to do because Bugsy then guns him down in his own front yard.
Does he not know what he looks like? Is that like.
This is before internet.
I
wasn't clear about that, but I should have stated that.
He writes a chapter about him in his memoir. He would not recognize him when he shows up at his house, though.
It is injured. That's a good. I don't know. That's a good question, but that's what happened. I'm gassing with the scream. So. So Bugsy kills Tony. Now the various mobs and the families, they're all like, this shit, this is out of hand. Like Bugsy, Bugsy's becoming a real problem. And despite his alibi of being in the hospital, they're all pretty sure that he killed Tony Fabrizio. Now they can't go after Bugsy. It's indecorous to go after Bugsy. Because they think he might have killed Tony.
Right.
They gotta, you know, they're, so they,
but he's killed
they
hundreds of people. Out. So it's like,
yeah, but that's different.
Just
that's
pick,
under the,
just pick which one you're offended by.
No, that's different. That's Murder, Inc. That's business. That's business. Can't be offended by business.
Again, that's been separated into a trust. I cannot be blamed for any of this.
This is here. Look, this is the LLC paperwork. I'm sorry. I'm not liable for any of this. But they're like, regardless, even if he didn't kill Tony, like this is a problem. So some of the families get together and they decide we gotta kill Bugsy.
Okay.
Now the mafia, Bugsy's folks, Bugsy's family, they catch wind of this, of course, and they also agree that Bugsy is a bit of an issue.
Mm-hmm.
But he's also a very useful issue.
Okay. Yeah. Sure.
He kills so many people they need to have killed. And so they decide they want to keep him safe. And the mafia, they call him in. Mm-hmm. They say, "Bugsy, listen, you've done great work here. You also fucked up a little bit. We're going to move you to Los Angeles."
Oh.
So they put Bugsy on a plane.
Retirement.
They send him to L.A. And that is the end of part one.
Of what?
Of this episode of the podcast. Sorry. Do you think there's a better way I could say that? I could try again.
No, perfect. Yep.
And that is the end of part one of this episode on Bugsy Siegel and his ghost.
Fine.
It is a ghost podcast still. I want to be clear about that. We have not transitioned to like a mafia podcast, although that would be so fun. We're going to get to a ghost.
Mm-hmm.
But and I'll just spoil it for just so you know, Bugsy is the ghost.
Wow, really?
Yeah. We're getting
okay. Looking forward to next week.
Yeah,
we're not recording it right now though, right?
Do you want to?
No, I do not.
I have almost no notes, but is that drive? I have quite a lot here, but not enough. So we're gonna do it next week. So I guess I can't really ask you your thoughts, but I you know what I will
Incomplete.
Though. What are your
Incomplete.
Thoughts so far?
My thoughts are, can you bring up that photo?
I was already working on it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's, yeah, I don't have a whole lot of thoughts.
Yep, nope. Okay, great. Well, then I will just say that for now, this has been part of an episode of Is This a Ghost? All the notes this week were taken by me, Clayton Smith. All the funny jokes were from Patrick Dean. Our video editor is Jen Swanson. Our audio editor is Jeremy Montoya. Our social media team is, I don't know, maybe in disarray. I don't know. I think Jen Jones is still there. I think Sam Murdoch is still there. And I know those two are. So thank you to both of them for doing the great work they always do. And who else? Oh, our merch is by Fox and Quill Studio. Go check them out on Instagram at Fox and Quill Studio. They do wonderful, wonderful work. And I didn't prepare anything, so I'll just say, you know, just hang out next week. Don't kill anyone. And don't, if you have a picture of someone nicknamed the body on your second screen, it's going to be very distracting in a way that might lead to your death. Like if you're walking across the street or something. So don't do that, or else it is possible we may be talking about you next week on Is This a Ghost?